It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. They may not even tell their roommates, but according to recent surveys, the number of college students seeking help for serious psychological problems has soared in recent years. All across the U.S., campus counseling centers are straining to keep up. And in the first of two stories, we'll hear the perspective from the students. NPR's Deborah Franklin has this report, which involves a group of students in California who created a theater production that got their campus talking.
Amanda Galender is a senior at Stanford University, confident with a big laugh. As she recalls, she was having coffee off campus last winter with a new friend, a freshman, when it struck her that he might not be as happy as he seemed.
He starts talking about his friend in the dorm who's really, really depressed, and like he feels really bad for this kid. And I just had an instinct. I don't know why I did it, but I just told him, I'm bipolar and I know how hard that is.
Amanda had spent her freshman year depressed too, crying under the covers for hours and exhausted, trying to hold everything together.
And I would cry on my way to class. And every day when I got home from class, I told my roommate that I had to take naps. And it wasn't about anything in particular. It was just sadness, a sadness that I couldn't shake. And I didn't care about anything. I didn't care about my friends. I didn't want to socialize with anyone in my dorm. And this was very uncharacteristic of me. I'm someone who dives into activities and academics. I didn't want to get help. I thought I could do it on my own. So it was just a very lonely time.
The young man listened to her story and confessed that the depressed friend was really him. It was a relief to them both to come clean, but Amanda and her friend wondered how many others were suffering, and that's when they got their big idea. Both are members of a student theater group that shines a spotlight on social issues, homelessness and AIDS, farm workers and pesticides.
We decided that it would be great if we could get stories to show that there is such life happening under the surface about mental illness, that there is so much struggle and triumph going on.
So they sent out an email to everyone they knew on campus, asking for anonymous true life stories. And within half an hour, Amanda got the first response. She brings it up on her laptop.
Am I the only person who never feels good? I've always felt this way from as long as I can remember, and all I've wanted is for somebody to say, I know how you feel. I am the same. We are all the same.
Dozens more letters poured in. What it's like to be hauled off to the psych ward for observation, or to stand at the edge of a high balcony and fight with yourself to keep from jumping. Before we tell you what Amanda Galender and her friends did with all that email, you first need to know these kids' struggles are not unusual. A Stanford task force on student mental health last year reported what it called an unprecedented demand for psychological services on campus. Roughly twice as many students seeking help as a decade ago. To try to keep up, Stanford increased its staff from 10 therapists to 16 in just the last year. Other schools are even more swamped.
We're not seeing that it's specific to elite schools by any means.
Daniel Eisenberg is a mental health researcher at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. He cites surveys of college counseling directors published over the last decade, schools ranging from small community colleges to the largest universities.
And one of the questions is whether they're seeing an increase in the number and severity of students with mental health problems, and over 90% are saying yes to that question.
Here are some more stats from colleges nationwide. More than twice as many students are on psychiatric medications as a decade ago, and there's been a 50% increase in the diagnosis of depression. Last January, Amanda Galender, the Stanford student you heard earlier, was determined to go deeper, to give all those numbers a human face. So she and her troupe of actors turned some of the letters they'd collected into 25 monologues. One even came in from a student resident advisor in the dorms.
One night, I sobbed in bed until 5 a.m., I imagine depression feels different for different people. For me, it felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest, constricting my heart, and I could barely breathe. I'm not supposed to be like this, I kept telling myself. I need to be strong. Other people come to me for help. I started to panic. What if I can't graduate? What if I have to drop out of medical school? What if I can't take care of a family?
The actors took their show to various places around campus, making sure faculty and the counseling center had a chance to hear the stories. But Amanda Galender says there were two audiences that were most important.
First and foremost, people who were struggling with mental illness and thought, there's no one else out there like me. Secondly, we're trying to reach people in dorms who are complicit in creating an environment that is hostile to people with mental illness, even if they don't know it.
And so they performed in 13 student dorms, too. Stories of severe anxiety problems, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and eating disorders.
It doesn't help my self-esteem that people think of bulimia as a joke problem, gross and unrespectable. It's an issue of control. Who overeats like a dumb animal and then has to vomit because they have no self-restraint? Me, apparently. It's embarrassing. But beyond that, it was also that I was on a varsity team and knew that if news got to my coach or the sports medicine, I would risk my spot on the team.
When you hear OCD, you probably think of some Jack Nicholson type. Neat freak. Really uptight. But that's not me at all. Hell, in terms of neat, I live in a frat.
By junior year of high school, I couldn't even listen to the radio during a traffic report because I would just know that my family had been in an accident. I started thinking that every furtive-looking man on the street was a terrorist, that every plane flying overhead was going to crash into my house. 20 milligrams of Prozac a day changed my life. So I went to Stanford relatively healthy, happy, and excited. In December, my young grandmother died of a sudden aneurysm. That winter quarter, I had a panic attack in the middle of a math exam. It was time to seek help again.
The stories inspired lots of Facebook discussion about mental illness. Some students found the production too disturbing, but Amanda Galender got a lot of positive feedback, especially from resident advisors, the RAs.
I spoke with an RA who said that this was probably the best thing that has been done for mental health on campus in a long time. He could really sense a change in his dorm.
So the Stanford student actors got what they most wanted, to dispel some of the stigma of mental illness. It's a good start, but is there really some new epidemic of psychological problems on campus? Researchers say it's doubtful that today's teens are actually sicker than past generations. Instead, they suspect what we're seeing is partly the unintended consequence of a good thing. 20 years ago, many high school kids with an illness as difficult as bipolar disorder or major depression might not have gotten treatment or even made it to college. Again, the University of Michigan's Daniel Eisenberg.
When Prozac and other antidepressant drugs came onto the scene in the late 80s and in the 90s, the likelihood of teenagers getting mental health treatment went way up.
Now, with earlier diagnosis and better treatment, they're on every campus. And when they have problems, many more are turning to therapists for help. Deborah Franklin, NPR News.
And we have more of the Stanford monologues at npr.org.
Why did I let myself sleep all day, stay up all night, stop eating, stop caring, and a few times, almost stop breathing?
Next Monday, we'll hear how colleges are reacting to this big increase in demand for mental health services, especially at a time of tight budgets.